Welcome to Maru Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus replied. They said, "Tell one of us to sit on your right and the other on your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism to which I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those to whom they have been prepared." Then the other 10 heard about this. They became indignant towards James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that it has been regarded as rulers to the Gentiles. They lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's good to be with you today, and we're grateful next Sunday will be a time to celebration of the backpacks with our children. Hard to believe they're going back to school. Today, as we share in Holy Communion, I want to thank James Fish. There's a very special song with a very special message that I hope that you'll be able to be reflective upon as we share in communion as well today. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, we come before you now. We ask that your word, as it's proclaimed, will do a good work in us, will not return empty or void, but will accomplish that for which you have sent it. So I ask now that you'll hide me behind the cross, that those words that are shared today will be spirit-filled and directed by your Holy Spirit, that all may hear and encounter you as we talk about Jesus, the greatest servant who ever walked this earth. Lord, we love you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a definition of entitlement would sound something like this: the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or some kind of special treatment. With that definition, with the scripture I've just read, you would understand that James and John seem to have wandered their way into the camp of entitlement. They feel like that being very close to Jesus, part of that inner circle of three, has given the entitled position that when Jesus goes to heaven and claims his crown, that they will be at the right and the left. At least that is what they are asking. Jesus shows great patience and incredible mercy in this moment. He hears the request. He questions whether they really know what they're asking for. And then he deals with the ruffled feathers of the other 10 disciples who are really mad that these two want a special place in heaven. And then he also turns into this a teaching moment where he will share with the disciples, whoever wants to be great among you really needs to be a servant. Well, last week, friends, I shared with you that as we begin next week our sermon series for the fall about the invitations of Jesus, that we're going to be tossing in some standalone sermons about the core values of Marvin Church. So actually, Justin didn't realize it, but when he preached on unity a couple weeks ago, he spoke about one of our core values, unity. Last week, I talked about risk-taking, and today we're going to talk about servanthood. My hope and desire is that Marvin Church will be a values-driven organization, a values-driven church, that these values are very closely associated with Jesus Christ, the one whom we follow. We will talk throughout the year about humility. We will talk about things such as passion, and as I mentioned, unity, risk-taking, and today, servanthood. Today's value is servanthood. And right out of the chute, I just want to share a couple of illustrations. Wednesday night, we had a life-to-life celebration dinner celebrating the work of discipleship that has been happening in our church as people have partnered up working around spiritual practices and a curriculum. We celebrated the work that God has done among us. But what was beautiful was at the very end of the dinner, as we concluded with the closing prayer, people got up, made sure that their plates and their silverware was thrown into the trash, and then the tablecloths were immediately spot cleaned and gathered up. The napkins, the cloth napkins we had, were gathered up, and people that were in the room, part of the kitchen crew, began to work. But then others kind of caught on to the spirit. We had beautiful floral arrangements. Those were taken out of their containers, wrapped in foil, and given away to those who would like to take them home. And then those containers were taken back to the kitchen where they'll be used for other centerpieces at a time. Then there was other volunteers who just stepped into the moment and said, well, I'll collect the evaluations from the class. I'll get the spiritual gifts cards that we've gathered from all of the people that have been in the room and even collect the pens. And all those were gathered up. And within minutes, the room was reset for another meeting. Friends, it was servanthood in action. And that's not an anomaly, a standoff, an event. I have seen this happen over and over again. And if you come to the Eternal Flame dinner in just a few weeks, you will see the exact same thing happen again. People will step into service when they begin to see those around them beginning to serve. Last night, we had a wedding here at Marvin Church. It started at 5:30, concluded at about 6:15, and our communion team had to wait. They usually come on Saturday mornings and set out our communion elements into the rail and cover them up nicely, but our communion team had to wait for after the wedding, came up here and got it all set for us. These cups just don't land here into these places without a hand placing them there for you. People serve. And friends, I want to share with you also that we've been so blessed that we have kind of had a little cup malfunction. We don't know why, but some of these cups have decided to leak in the middle of the service. So even though they weren't leaking before, when we got in time for communion, there was a little bit of grape juice around. So don't just be careful as you grab your cup this morning. But I want to tell you is that Pastor Brandy and George Ann and also Linda got on their knees, wiping up that grape juice this morning, showing the true heart of a servant. And that's what I love about Marvin Church. Servanthood is a value that we have here. And I believe that as you come to Marvin Church and invest in Marvin Church and serve alongside us, it will begin to rub off on you because we all want Jesus Christ, the greatest servant, to rub off on us. He is our example. And let me see that as we talk about what we're going to be talking about today, we'll see that that example begins to affect all of us. Because it is fun to serve, it is a joy to serve, and we are more like Jesus Christ when we are serving. Now, in the book entitled Lead Like Butler, then head coach of the Butler Bulldogs, a college team, Brad Stevens, who, by the way, grew up as a Methodist, decided that he wanted to implement a values-driven idea about the way he coached and the way the players played. And if you might recall, several years ago, they were just one basket away, an inch away, because they missed the final shot, from winning the national championship in basketball. This small little school, and many believe it's because of the way they treated each other. In the locker room, Coach Stevens had a sign posted that said, service, focus on lifting others up. He wanted the ball players to know that they weren't there just to play basketball. They weren't there just to get a scholarship and an education and set some records for the school or even to win a national championship. He saw it as a greater vision to teach these young men about service and the power of what happens when you serve one another. He had a sign to remind them of that, and he talked about it often. And I don't believe that Jesus had a sign that he carried around with him and the disciples as they were doing their ministry around the Sea of Galilee, but it might have helped if they had etched out on a stone, maybe, and had the disciples take turns carrying it. And on that stone, what would it say? Serve. Serve. Now, preceding our scripture lesson today, there's three very important passages that I want to just make reference to really quickly. Going back two chapters to Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus makes the first prediction that he is going to lay down his life for us, that he is going to die, he is going to be risen again. And Peter at that moment takes him aside and says, "Hey, God, Jesus, that's not a good idea. You know, we love what's happening here. We love the way the momentum is growing and the people are drawn to you. Why would we want that?" And then Jesus has to say what? Those powerful words, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't see the kingdom of God here." Then again, one chapter later, Mark 9:31, Jesus again shares with the disciples what is going to happen to him. And the amazing thing around that conversation is he says, like a mother, I love this. You know, a mother will say, "What are y'all been talking about?" Even though she already knows what you've been talking about. Jesus makes this question in 9:31. "What have you guys been talking about?" And the guys have to kind of fess up. Well, they've been arguing about who is going to be the greatest in the coming kingdom. And then we find in this chapter that precedes the scripture I just read for you, a third death prediction. Jesus again says, "I will lay down my life, I'll be arrested, and I will die, and I will be raised again." And at the end of that, there are questions about, like, "Okay, Jesus, you've brought this up now three times. We don't really understand what you're talking about." No, that's not what happens. James and John step forward and say, "Hey, Jesus, we want you to do whatever we ask of you." Doesn't that seem a little awkward in the moment? And I could just imagine Jesus, if you will, in that moment, taking a deep sigh, "Oh," and maybe lifting up a short prayer, "Lord, help them. Lord, help them." Now, that's the Doug version of the expanded Bible version that's not in the scriptures. So if there's an amplified version by Doug Baker, that's maybe what would be there. But Jesus redirects the question about doing whatever is asked, refusing to do what they want of him. And let me just say this as a little side note. How many of you glad want to raise your hand and say, "I'm thankful that God didn't always do what I asked him to do when I asked him to do it"? Yeah. All right, so there's a little point right there, a little bonus point for you. But friends, instead he says, "What do you want to do? What do you want me to do for you?" "Well, we want you to put one of us on the right and one on the left," which is the place of honor, the next in line to take up the kingdom should something happen to you. That's what they were asking. Another deep breath maybe from Jesus, another sigh of, "Oh." But what does he do? He's gracious, because I think that what Jesus could have said in this moment, "James and John, you want to be on my right and on my left? There's going to be a cross on my right and a cross on my left." But he refrains from that jab, if you will, and he wants to bring them together and talk about the fact that following him is not to be about privilege. If you're going to follow Jesus, it's going to be about service. Following the greatest servant, I would argue that Jesus is the greatest servant who ever walked this planet and will ever be. And that's who I want to follow. That's who I want to align my life with. That is who I want to imitate as I try to serve Jesus in this world. Jesus asked them about baptism. He asked them about drinking of the same cup. "Are you able to be baptized with the baptism I am?" There's an identification there. Just as Jesus was baptized for service, they too were baptized for service. Just as Jesus would in a few moments, as he gets to the end of his ministry, as we share and remember today, lifts up the cup of salvation for us to be his blood that will be shed. It is a cup of service and sacrifice that is offered. So if you were to go to a banquet and you were invited by the king, and the king was going to have refreshments. You would not find at the bottom of the invitation BYO or whatever it's going to say, W for, you know, biblical times or whatever. You're not going to bring your own refreshments. You're going to receive what the good king has to offer. Well, friends, what the good king has to offer us today is a remembrance of his blood shed for us to forgive us of our sins. He is reminding us today as we partake of these elements that we need a Savior to save us from ourselves. He is reminding us as we take these elements that we too are called to follow the King in a life of service, not a life of entitlement. Jesus would say to his disciples in that upper room before his departure, before his death, "Greater love has no one than this, but to lay down one's life for his friends, and you are my friends if you do what I command." He went on to say, "You are my friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." So friends, I want you to think about this as we think about the big picture today, as we share and we kneel at this table. A God in heaven, the Almighty God, the creator of all things, came to earth in human form. As it says in Philippians chapter 2, he emptied himself of all his divinity, took on the form of a servant, and even died for us that we might be reconciled to God. And God so lifted him up, and so he is now with God in heaven. That is the story of our lives. God coming down to us that we might have new life found in him, that we might imitate Christ and follow him into a life of service, laying down our lives and loving others in the name of Jesus, that one day when our breath is gone, we are lifted up to be with God in glory as well. If Jesus had a sign, it would say, "Serve." Now, there were a lot of great things about going to Africa when our team went to Africa a couple years ago. One of the hardest things about that trip was not trying to find good water, was not having comfortable accommodations. The hardest thing about that trip was letting the Africans serve us. There was a gentleman by the name of Bahati John. And John was the first disciple, one of the first disciples of the Amazing Grace Church of Alfred Nijau. But as soon as we would get off the bus, Bahati John would be there and others to grab our backpacks and to lead us into the room, not wanting us to even carry our backpacks into the church building. And then when it came to getting chairs, they would make sure we had chairs to sit at and water bottles strategically placed so that we would have plenty to drink. And when it came time for us to teach outside and to move our chairs, I can carry my own chair, I can carry my own backpack, but they were right there ready to grab them from us because, friends, it gave them a way to serve Christ in that moment. But in that moment, it's hard to step back and to understand what a gift it was to allow them to serve in hospitality those who had come to share in the teaching seminar. Many of you know, 2 weeks ago, we ended up Vacation Bible School. We had the children up here singing. It was a glorious week. We had a great week together. And Gina and I had our 6-year-old granddaughter, Abigail, our 2-year-old granddaughter, Anna, with us all week long and participated in Vacation Bible School. And they were to be going back towards their home on Saturday. Gina would take them, but it was also Love Thy City Day. So I had a special date with Abigail, our 6-year-old. And we went and got donuts early in the morning when she arose. And after we got those donuts, I said, "You know what? What was the last lesson, Abigail, that we learned on Thursday?" She had a little hard time remembering. I said, "Did we learn about serve one another?" I said, "Why don't we serve Nani today?" Nani is Gina's grandma's name, and Gina's grandma name. And so she said, "Okay." So we went and washed Gina's car. And she was so helpful in drying that car. Even when we got back and parked the car in the garage, she ran into the house, got paper towels, because you know you get those little extra drips of water. She wanted to make sure that car looked as good as it could. Now, why do I tell that story? Not to make a story about myself, look at me, the great servant, because I was training her to live out, which was the theme of our vacation Bible school, live it out. Live out serving one another. So let me say to every parent and every grandparent in this room, when you invite a child to serve, you're allowing them to step in and practice a life of service as a child, whether it's for a grandparent, whether it's for a parent, whatever it be. It should start in the family. Service should begin in the family, then it should begin to move out into our church and our community where we're serving one another, and then go out even further into the world. It's all about repetition, getting it ingrained in our lives when we live in a culture that wants to serve us. And live in a culture where we so oftentimes feel entitled to what others should be doing for us. Many resources I studied this week say it takes 5 to 7 repetitions before information moves from short-term memory to long-term memory. Why do I bring this up? Maybe it gives us a little understanding of why the disciples were having such a hard time understanding what Jesus was trying to tell them every time he told them, and why he shared with them on multiple occasions, "I'm going to die. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to go back to be with the Father. My life is about service, not about privilege, not about building a kingdom here on earth. It's about the glory of God and the kingdom in heaven." And what does Jesus do on that final night as he gathers disciples in that upper room? Before they share in the meal, which we will commemorate today, he washes their feet. One more powerful, memorable illustration of service done to others. Because friends, it says that even 5 to 7 messages can move us to long-term memory, but sometimes it takes hundreds of repetitions to create new neural synapses in our brains that brings along the muscle memory that our first thought will then be to, how can I serve? Did you follow me on that? Hundreds of experiences, hundreds of remembrances, hundreds of muscle memory activities before we finally get it that we are here to serve and not be served. So what a blessing to be a part of Marvin Church. A church has active members that get on their knees and clean up the juice cups that have dripped between the services, and to reset the chancel for us to share in communion today. We celebrate Serve Nights, Vacation Bible School, Mission Week. We have committed usher corps that serves in rotation, a chancel choir that will soon be back among us, Sunday school teachers who've been teaching faithfully at their posts even this morning, youth helpers, greeters, acolytes, 2 trained new acolytes serving us today. And we celebrate even what's happening on our campus, but most importantly, what happens at Bonner Elementary and PATH and Mentoring Alliance and Bethesda and St. Paul's and Hospice of East Texas, all because the ministry and the service here has gone out there to serve those in our community as well. So today, we raise the cup. Today, we raise the cup to the greatest servant who ever walked this earth. We raise the cup to remind us it is a cup of sacrifice and service represented in the blood of Christ that we partake when we share in holy meal together. It was Mother Teresa, founder of the Missionaries of Charity, Nobel Prize winner, who once said, "Not all of us can do great things. We can only do things with great love." Small things with great love, not focusing on doing great things. And I had a great quote from Georgie Ann. She shared with me between the services, "If you're waiting for something or waiting on something," and many of us are waiting for God to reveal something or in a season of waiting, I love what she said, "If you are waiting on something, act like a waiter. Start serving. Start serving. While you wait, we serve. We wait for Christ to come again in final victory as we kneel at this banquet table. And in the meantime, we serve to build his kingdom up here on earth." Friends, I again share with you that being the pastor of this church has its challenges and responsibilities, but its greatest blessing is being around all of the great servants that encourage and enrich my life by their witness. That's so powerful, I can't tell you what it is. And all the opportunities that are provided to serve by this great church and its staff. I am continuing to grow as a servant of the Lord as I follow the greatest servant who ever walked this earth. Joy is found in Christian service. When we are serving others, we look a lot like Jesus. And at Marvin Church, we value servanthood. So thank you. Thank you for serving Christ in all the ways you serve. And let's continue to serve until the day Christ returns in glory. Amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I want to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block from the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please use the QR code on the screen for online giving or send a gift to 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us and have a great day.